Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Bada, bada boom, sold.
Huh?
Just sold my car on Carvana. Dropping it off and getting paid today.
Already?
What, you still haven't sold yours? You told me about it months ago. Is the offer good?
Oh, the offer's great.
Don't have another car yet?
I could trade it in for this car I love.
Come on, what are we waiting for?
Ah, you're right.
Let's go.
Whether you're looking to sell your car right now or just whenever feels right, go to Carvana.com and sell your car the convenient way. Terms and conditions apply.
You listen to The Expressway with BT Express, Billy Taylor, and Charles Show Me The Way. We're on every single week talking about NFL football on the NFL8podcast.com.
And here we go. Let's get it. Welcome to The Expressway. I'm Charles Way, your co-host. I'm here with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we are here to talk to you about some New York football sports, as well as anything happening in the world of sports today. But first, we got to get into what is going on with our Giants. I hear Daniel Jones, DJ, Danny Dimes, White Chocolate, you name it, all the nicknames wants $40 million. Woo, that's a lot of money. Does he deserve it? My question to you, Billy, is does he deserve it?
Well, see, the thing about it, I've never, ever in my whole life said that a football player doesn't deserve the money, because I look at all the other sports, basketball, baseball, maybe hockey could compare, where you go through a lot of stuff to get your money. But and the bad thing is that at the end of last season, I said that if the Giants and Danny Jones can get to the playoffs, that he can own New York. And really, I guess that kind of hasn't happened, but he's really gave a new thought process to it. My problem is that they geared the offense around him. They made plays that he can run. They didn't make him a straight drop-back passer. And I think he's got to prove that he can do it more than 1 year to be able to get that $40-something million, because that's a lot of money in the history of the New York Giants. Because I know Eli, I was shocked when he was making 20-something. And I was like, dang, that's a lot of money. And for him to even think about making $40-something million, that's a lot. And I think that would hurt the Giants' cap. It would hurt their ability to go with other players. And I think the only positive is that the salary cap went up. But so I don't know. I think that they have to come down, just like Brady took less money so he could sign some receivers and defensive linemen. I think it's hard to think like that. And I don't know, you know, what I would do in that situation, but I would want to win. Because no matter, like, even Aaron Rodgers makes $50 million and they didn't win. So what does that look like?
Yeah, it's tough for me. I don't know if 1 year is a good sample size for me to be gung-ho about giving them $40 million, especially after the last game they played against Philly, where he wasn't very productive. It was almost like he went back to his old self a year ago, where he wasn't very effective, not in the pocket, not running around, not scrambling. He didn't do anything to impress me in that game. So I don't know if I would be comfortable, if I'm the Giants, of giving him $40 million. I don't think I mind franchising him, because you're going to be biting a bullet anyway if you paid him. So you're paying anywhere between $30 and $40 million anyway. But it's tough, because I don't know if he's worth it right now. We don't have a large enough sample size to say, okay, let's throw him the entire truckload of money and let him do the thing. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Russell Wilson. As bad as Russell Wilson is playing, he's not Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson has won a Super Bowl and has taken his team to the Super Bowl twice. You know, look at other quarterbacks. He's not even Aaron Rodgers. Even Lamar Jackson has made it to an AFC championship game. So he has an argument, because without him, they don't make it as far as they've made it these past few seasons. So for me, that would be a tough decision if I'm Joe Shane, is to giving him $40 million over 5 or 10 years, wherever long he wants to make that money for.
Well, see, the thing for me is that his self-confidence has gone up tremendously, because, you know, for him not to even wait for the Giants to make an offer, because he's a complete free agent. So anybody can make an offer. I think that's correct. And see, if he, you know, realizes what you have to do to win a championship is to build a team. You need defensive stars. You need offensive stars. You need good running game and all that. And I think he would understand that, you know, at 30-something million, you know, he's going to help the team in all the ways. And still, he has generational money. The thing about it, and I like saying that, you know, I wish I could say that, but to have that kind of money in the NFL to last you, you know, where your daughter's life is taken care of, her daughter's life is taken care of, and maybe his son. I mean, there's so many things you do. So I think that if he keeps his cards close to his vest, he will be able to stay around 10, 15 years and be more than satisfied with his financial success.
Yeah, absolutely. But it boils down to the two main players before I think the Giants start evaluating any other position in free agency are Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. How do you handle those two key marquee players that actually propelled your team to the position that they were in last year, giving them the opportunity to get into the playoffs, winning in the first round of the playoffs, and having an opportunity to compete against the Eagles? But as you saw against the better teams, they still don't have enough to compete with the upper echelon teams like Buffalo, like Kansas City, like Green Bay to some extent, right? And I don't know how that dynamic changes this upcoming year based on what teams do during free agency, where the quarterbacks move to. But at the end of the day, if you don't make a decision on those two guys, whether you're going to keep them or get rid of them, then I don't see how you can move forward, because those two individuals are going to take a good portion of your salary cap, which is going to determine what you do here on out, whether it's free agency, whether it's drafting players and moving up in the draft, getting multiple draft picks like they potentially can. It's a lot. This is a key next couple of weeks, because they're going to have to franchise either one of those two guys before free agency starts in March.
It would make sense to franchise Saquon Barkley, because, you know, I just think that from a running back situation, they're not giving him a lot of respect. He made $7 million last year off his first-year contract, and they say he should get a minimum of 10. I think he should get more than that, because I look at McCaffrey, he's making 15. I look at Ezekiel for the Cowboys, who may not be with the Cowboys next year. He was making some around 14, 15. I just think he deserves more than 10. I mean, if you think about it, he opened it up for Danny. He helped Danny out. I know the quarterback gets more money, but I think if both of them, they need both of them to succeed. It's almost like you needed that two-headed monster. But I look at Saquon, 292 attempts, which is really a lot of attempts rushing the ball, 1,312 yards. And I think he earned it, because the offensive line wasn't outstanding. And he got hurt a few times. And I think if we go to 18 games, they're going to need another running back, because one running back can't take all of it. But I think that both guys are very intelligent guys. The only thing that's scaring me is that Danny Jones, his figure keeps going up. Let's say if you want your team to try to win and keep some of the players you got and build on that, you've got to make a sacrifice.
And I think that just goes to show you the sad state of affairs from an NFL quarterback standpoint and the state of the NFL quarterback in the NFL. Because these players, David Carr, who has not won a playoff game, probably garnered 30 to 35, if not $40 million next year. And you have quarterbacks like that trying to make money. That's why Lamar Jackson can ask for the amount of money he's asking for, because there aren't any good proven quarterbacks in your region. And these teams are so desperate to find that quarterback that will propel them to the next level, they're willing to pay guys just on flashes. And Daniel Jones's performance last year was a flash. Yeah, can you contribute it to Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka's offense? Possibly. But it was just 1 year. Look at Josh Allen. Josh Allen made some great improvement once Brian Daboll left. Look at how he performed this year. And I'm telling you, for man to man, if you watch tape, he has not changed who he was from 3 to 4 years ago when he was an average quarterback. That's who he is. I think good coaches, i.e. Bill Belichick, will put you in position to success. Will play within. You remember, it's stay in your lane. Everybody says stay in your lane. Do what you can. Don't go outside of that box.
Do your job.
That's what good coaches do. They know what you can do, and they build a game plan around what you can do so you can have the most success. And that's what the issue is with Daniel Jones, Josh Allen. They are good quarterbacks, and they have the potential to be great quarterbacks. But I have not seen it, and they still have to prove it to me.
Well, see, the thing about it, and I think that what's in their favor is that the salary cap has gone up. I think it's $215 or $225 million. That's a lot of money to spend. I mean, I remember a long time ago what the cap was, and people were complaining about it. But I think now, you know, the quarterbacks who receive the big money, and you think about it, a lot of the number one picks, you're talking about, the kid from Cleveland who went to L.A., the quarterback. He was the number one pick of all, and still he's got to be able to find a job. I think these number one picks don't always pale out, and that's why I think you got to utilize what you have and try to make it better. And I think that they have to keep this situation, because if Danny Jones continues to improve, you know, he could really get more money, but he's got to get a contract that kind of simplifies what the Giants do. The Giants have always been a conservative organization. They don't really pay over their head. Because I remember even when I was playing, I was thinking the Jet running back gets more than the Giant running back. And I used to look at that all the time, because the guy's name was Bruce Harper, and he used to tell me what he made, and I would tell him what I made. And he was just a guy who came in on third down. He was making twice as much as me. But point being is that I just think that you have to give your organization a chance to kind of help the whole team out. I know that's tough to say, looking at how much money the NFL makes. And I looked at next year, all these new networks who are bidding to get $1 billion to the NFL, Prime Network, who they didn't do a great job, but I'm sure they're going to improve on it. They did Thursday night game, Amazon, and they put the salary cap up a little bit. If the salary cap keeps going up like that, maybe they can do something down the line. But I think Danny Jones has got to make a concession, and hopefully he didn't get a big head. I mean, it's hard not to for what he did, but hopefully he can keep his stuff cool and calm, and be able to understand we want the team to try to get to the Super Bowl. In order to do that, we got to have more people, that can contribute to the games.
You're absolutely right. And we're going to pick up about the running backs as well, not only running back free agents, but what do we do with Saquon Barkley, given that there are a plethora of good free agent running backs out there. Miles Sanders, what are the Eagles going to do with Miles Sanders? So there are a ton of people out there. But hold on to that. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. We call this the Expressway, Billy Taylor and Charles Way. And I always like to say, how'd you come up with that name? Well, Charles showed me the way, and then BT Express, and Charles put it together, the Expressway. And two running backs talking about what's happening in the world of sports. We do a lot of concentrate on the New York Giants, but we go around the NFL. And that was our first quarter. Our second quarter, we're going to talk about prospects the Giants may need that could help their team succeed. And first of all, Charles, just wanted to ask you, what do you think the biggest need, and we'll say an offense, is? I look at one need, a couple of them, but I'm going to give you the first choice on that, because I looked around at some of the college prospects and how the Giants did last year on some of the things, and I got a couple things I'm going to throw at you. But what do you think the New York Giants football team needs as far as a prospect going into the draft?
Yeah, well, going into the draft, I think one of the
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagínate escuchar tu canción favorita como si fuera la primera vez. Te presentamos el totalmente nuevo y reimaginado Nissan Kicks con sonido Bose Personal Plus y bocinas en la parte superior de los asientos para crear una experiencia 360. Jamás has escuchado algo así. Reimagina tu música y tu forma de manejar. Descubre el totalmente nuevo y reimaginado Nissan Kicks en nissanusa.com. Función disponible. Bose es una marca registrada de The Bose Corporation.
Key areas they need to improve on is they need a quality game breaker wide receiver, where they need somebody that can be a deep threat, that can make the big play. They need somebody that they were hoping that Juan Daly Robinson was, right? They want that guy that's quick, that's fast, that can make the big play. They want a Deebo Samuels, right? They want somebody of that ilk that is a game breaker and that can make plays no matter what. And I don't think they have that right now. They were hoping Sterling Shepard, but as many injuries as Sterling Shepard has had, and then Juan Daly Robinson is coming off of a torn ACL, so you don't know how he's going to come back off of that injury. And we both know it takes about a year to come back from an injury like that, especially Absolutely. At that position. So they got to look in free agency without making the same mistake like they made two years ago when they signed our $17 million wide receiver that sat the bench for most of the year, right? So that's probably the biggest need. I think running back is probably second, trying to find if they don't sign Saquon. But Saquon isn't unreasonable for what he's asking for. Yep. I think he's only asking for between $13 and $15 million. I don't think that's unreasonable. I think that's an area where you can improve in the draft. You don't need to spend a lot of money in free agency. As a running back, I should be ashamed of myself.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
But I don't think you need to spend a lot of money in free agency to get a backup running back or get a number two running back, because as you saw, look at what Dallas's situation, right? Pollard and Zeke Elliott. And if it wasn't for Pollard messing up his ankle, I mean, they would be saying, hey, let's get rid of Zeke, save that money, and let's make Pollard the main guy, right? And so the running back situation is one where, unfortunately, given the way the salary cap constraints are and what we just talked about, how much we have to pay quarterbacks, there has to be a position that suffers, and it looks like the running back is the one that's getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah, but I definitely think they should bring Saquon back because, you know, people look at a lot of little stuff like character, integrity, all that kind of stuff, and Saquon has it. I mean, he's a great example for other people that are coming to your team. He's a leader on that team. He plays hard every time he's out there, and I just think he deserves what he can get, and I hope that he is able to take care of himself and his family the rest of his life. But even on $5 or $7 million, you should be able to take care of some people. But my thought process also is that last year I didn't see somebody down the middle. And I think the Giants definitely need a tight end to be able to complement the running game that they're trying to produce with Saquon. I think there's a wide receiver from BC, from Boston College. His name is Zane Flowers. He's not a big guy, but he's 4'3"-ish in his speed. He can take it deep. And I like I played for the Raiders, Charles, as you know, my fifth year in the NFL. Mm-hmm. First four with the Giants, then fifth year in the NFL. And the Raiders, what they would do, and I loved it, and I still don't understand why other teams didn't do it. First play of the game, they throw the bomb. And then I was mm-hmm. talking to Stephen Baker, who played with the Giants, touchdown maker. He said, you throw the bomb the first play of the game, that defensive back is scared all day. You can throw it in front of them. So I don't understand why more teams don't do that, because the Raiders, back in the 70s and 80s when Al Davis was the owner, they always did that. Even before I played with them, I noticed that they go for the bomb. They always had one speedy receiver. And I just think that it opens up the offense when you do that kind of stuff. So I think the Giants need a tight end down the middle. I think they need a defensive back also. There's a lot of them out there because, you know, teams are throwing the ball now, and you got to be able to have nickel, dime situations. So I just think there's a few needs for the Giants.
There are a bunch of needs, and that's why I think a lot of teams focus on free agency to try to fill those needs the best they can with the best possible free agents, and then fill in the gaps with with the draft. And when you look at the top free agents and you look at offense, we said wide receiver, you said tight end is a big question mark. I don't know if there are really any tight ends in free agency that I would be like really gung-ho to spend a lot of money for, given there are a whole lot of other needs, positions of need that the Giants need to address, i.e. linebacker. Is there a good free agent linebacker out there that could come in and be an Antonio Pierce? Antonio Pierce wasn't an expensive free agent, right? But he was a quality free agent that came in, became a leader of the team, and really held that defense together. So you don't need to make a huge splash, and maybe they can find somebody like that. When we look at receiver, is Juju Smith-Schuster a good would be a good solid pickup? Is he like a better version of Kenny Galladay, but he's still getting older? I mean,
yeah,
you got to understand he plays a physical. Juju Smith-Schuster plays a physical game, right? Yeah. So can his body stand up? Are you going to have to deal with, okay, this is going into a sixth, seventh year? You know, all those years with Pittsburgh, this past couple of seasons with Kansas City, does he have anything left, or what are you getting? So that's what scares me about free agency sometimes. It's like, how what's the wear and tear on these guys? What are you getting after the year five, year six, year seven, when these guys become free agents? Because it's a crapshoot sometimes. And these positions, like a wide receiver, a big wide receiver like this, who's been taking beatings, because all he does is go across the middle and punish people. And you know, he is somewhat of a deep threat, but he's a physical receiver. He's more of that Terrell Owens type of receiver,
yep.
not a Deebo Samuels receiver. You know what I'm saying? So when I look at the people on the board from a free agency standpoint, I'm kind of nervous to even pick a receiver after the Kenny Galladay disaster. Right. So it's just hard. And you gotta trust your evaluators and see what they see. And hopefully they hit big on somebody.
Well, what's going to happen this year, Charles, with Kenny Galladay? Because he had a guaranteed contract, and the Giants, do they have to eat some of it, or they're just going to release him?
If they release him at a certain point, they still will eat some, but it wouldn't be as much of a cap hit as it would if they were to just release them before a certain date. I think it's after March 6th or something like that. If they release them after that, it's a less of a cat hit because it carries over to the following year.
But do you think that they're going to release them?
There is a possibility. It just depends on who they get, right? Who they find out there in the market. And it's no worse for the wear, because if they release them after March 6th or before, it's a difference in a few million dollars. So I think they'll wait to see when they'll release them and see what they do in free agency. If they can find somebody else that can pick up the slack, they'll probably release them. If they can't, they'll probably keep them.
You know what I've noticed over the years is people in skill positions, how they have separation from the defensive back. I watched highlights of Matt Stafford in Detroit going for Kenny Galladay, and I never saw separation. And I always wondered why. So I went to training camp for the Giants last summer, and I just wanted to check him out to see how he run around, because, you know, there's a couple of guys with the Rams, a couple of guys here and there, the tight end for San Francisco, who run great routes, use their head fakes, turn inside, turn outside, do all kinds of stuff. I watched Kenny Galladay, he's running straight down the field, no head fakes, and he thinks because he's 6'3", he can strong arm a defensive back. And he kind of just half-heartedly runs an out, right? And the guy jumps around and gets the interception. You blame that on the quarterback, but I look at totally as the receiver didn't put anything into it. When I played with the Raiders, I had some of the best wide receivers. One guy was named Cliff Branch, a little old speedy guy, 4'2", 4'3", 4'4", but he ran a great out pattern. And I think that's the key. You got to be able to, you know, let the people, you know where you're going from a receiver standpoint. The defensive back does not. You can set them up by so many different plays. And I was wondering why somebody hasn't coached Kenny Galladay, just like Danny Jones got coached.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes it's on the receiver. If you look at Amani Toomer, look at the Giant receivers, Amani Toomer, Plaxico Burress, Kenny Galladay. right?
Yep.
I think you put them all in the same category. They weren't great separators. They were more physical type of receivers. But they were all the difference between, I think the difference between Amani Toomer, Plaxico Burress, and Kenny Galladay is they were on teams that Amani and Plax were on teams that won. Where Kenny Galladay, he was supposed to be the guy, right? And so that's why I think he didn't perform up to the standards that we expected him, because he was supposed to come in and be the savior. You look at Plaxico. Plaxico wasn't the savior of the Giants because the Giants were well-rounded. They had a great running game, right? They had a decent quarterback. You as much as people like to bash Eli Manning, he was a good quarterback.
Very good.
Yep. So you can't compare. You can't look at a person's work without looking at the team, especially when I just made the comparison, Amani Toomer, Plaxico Burress, and Kenny Galladay. If you look at them just purely on work, they probably are the same receiver.
See, I just don't like receivers to think they can go out there and just use their strength and get by on the defensive back. The defensive backs, these days, they work out, they're quick. They realize what they do well, and it's the toughest position in football. People pay good money to see you get your butt beat. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty incredible. I mean, think about it. That's a tough position to play. People pay money to see you get beat. And that's why the defensive backs, all of them step up. I mean, there's not much room for separation. I watch everybody play, and there's very little room for that quarterback to put the ball in. And that's why accuracy is so important for a quarterback.
Absolutely. And when you have a quarterback that's running the show, commanding the offense smooth, flawlessly, I think that's when everyone on the team excels. And when you do that, I think you have a good product. Well, you're listening to The Expressway. This is Charles Show Me The Way. I'm here with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. Again, we have gone through first quarter. We talked about Daniel Jones and his free agency status. We talked about potential free agents, rookie in the draft or potential free agents that the Giants need to target. Coming up in the second half, starting off the third quarter, BT is going to talk about resiliency and why we as football players are so successful because of this resiliency. But we'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to The Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Way. I'm here with Billy Taylor. We have just gone through the first half talking about Giants and free agents. Here we are in a special segment in our third quarter. We're going to always pick a word. Now that it's the offseason, we're going to try to kind of talk about some words that make football players and athletes in general so successful. So, Billy, what's our word for today?
Our word for today in our third quarter, Charles Way, is resiliency. And I'm going to give you the Webster's Dictionary version, and then we'll talk about it from an athlete version. Resiliency, the capacity to withstand or recover quickly from difficulties or toughness. And what it means is that if you fall down, what do you do about it? And the thing about it is, I want you to think way back, Charles Way, as an athlete, first time you had a situation where you kind of you thought about quitting, or you thought about what should you do to get better? You got beat in some situation, and then what'd you do? Go back to the drawing board, because I hate to admit it, but you gain more from losing than you do from winning.
You absolutely do. You do gain more from losing than you do from winning because you learn more. I remember that when I was a player, when we would come in and I would have a terrible game, and you got to look at the tape. I mean, I was so laser focused about improving the following week that it inevitably the next game I played, I had a better game, right? And then you get kind of complacent and you get kind of relaxed because I got it. But you forget what you did to get to that point where you had a great game. And then it starts to slack off a little bit and your opponent may not be as good as the other opponent was the previous week. So you get a false sense of confidence and then you slack off again. But you learn a lot when you fall down. And I think sports in general, I was just speaking to a group of kids at Columbia Business School. When, as an athlete, you learn resiliency, because I don't think not one athlete coming up, Little League or otherwise, have never lost a game. Somebody has lost a game in their entire life, sports lifetime, right? And so you've dealt with failure at some point in your life. And in order to be successful, especially in order to get to the level that we both have gotten to, you've had to overcome a lot of obstacles to get to where we are or where we were.
Well, the thing that kind of blows me away is that kids who don't play sports seem like they, when they try something for the first time, like I talked to some kids who played soccer for the first time and lacrosse for the first time, let alone football, baseball, or basketball, and they were not successful. They didn't go back to the drawing board and try to work on their game or go back to the gym and work on the stick work or footwork. They quit. And so I think the resiliency comes in the factor, what do you do about it? And I think the first time it happened to me in baseball, I struck out like three times in a row. And I started to think, well, maybe this is not good enough for me. But then my dad said, Billy, what do you do about it? You don't quit on the first thing that happens, because it becomes a habit of quitting. So what he did was he took me to the batting cage, and I probably took 2 hours of 100-something balls. Next game, I got two hits. And I thought, well, anything I want to do, if I want to get better, I got to practice. And the old adage that people say, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? You practice. And the thing about football players, and more than any other sport, and I'm not saying this just because I'm an ex-football player like yourself, I just think, look at other sports, and I see some people hurt their little foot, they're out a month. You know, football players, they would try to get back in the same game, the same week, the same month, because of the resiliency that we have as being brought up as gladiators. And I think that I'm so pleased with the way the NFL is doing now, Charles. And they don't give you a chance to ask you, are you okay to get back in there? They bring a doctor out to make sure that you get cleared to play. And I think that's a positive for the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a positive for the NFL. I think when you look at...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
All of the great athletes, you look at the Walter Paytons of the world, who was very dedicated, and the Jerry Rices, guys that had 20-year careers and had played at the highest peak of performance in their given field. You learn a lot, because every athlete, like we've talked about, has experienced failure and times in which they didn't want to continue. I think if you look at a lot of athletes, you have doubt in your mind whether you can continue to go all the time, whether you can beat the opponent across from you. But there is something within us innately that says, no, you get up, keep going, keep training, and keep doing. Because why else would you play a game? If you know you're going to, if someone's better than you, if I'm Indianapolis or I'm Houston Texans and I'm going against Kansas City Chiefs, or the Buffalo Bills, for example, and you play hard, you go out there, you could give up and not play because, hey, on paper, we're supposed to lose this game all the time. But you see it every day in sports. You see the upset. You'll see it now come March Madness. You'll see teams that shouldn't even be on the same court with certain teams, and you'll see these upsets every day because – people are resilient. They have a great game. They work hard. They do the things that they need to do. And like I said, you get the other team that's complacent because, hey, this team shouldn't even be on the same court as us. And they get beat because they're not ready for that game.
And what I like is the mental part of it, too, because, you know, it's easy to overlook teams and think you're complacent like you were talking about. But the hard part, too, comes is you're getting your butt beat. You know, what do you do about it then? Do you tell the coach, I'm hurt, I can't go back in? Do you raise your hand, or do you go back in there and try to fight? And I think football players have been taught since the very beginning, you always go back and fight. You always get up. If you fall down, you get up. I know my little girl, You know, she used to try to trick me. She said, "Daddy, I hurt my ankle. She wanted me to come run out there." And I explained it very quickly. Your daddy ain't running out there unless you're about to die. So unless you come up and show some skin that you've broken something, don't call your dad. And anytime you can get up, you always get up. And then she ran a track meet, fell down, and she got up. And I said, well, she's listening to me. And I think if you think about it, even as parents, we need resiliency on our kids, because if something goes wrong, they got to learn. You can fight your way through it. And I think resiliency has so much to do with life, Charles Ray.
It does. It's a key aspect of life, because when you look at anybody's life, you don't go through great times your entire life. I mean, honestly, I'm hard pressed not to say that the majority of life you're going through difficult moments.
Absolutely. Right?
It's probably a small portion of your life where things are always running smoothly. For the majority of your life, you're dealing with something. And so if you don't know how to multitask and be able to continue to move forward while you're dealing with struggles and issues, it's really hard to kind of be successful. And I think that's why when you see athletes who are very successful, Hall of Fame athletes, or players who've come from nothing, or the supermarket worker who gets a chance to play professional sports. And we've seen a number of those instances where you see guys that were just taken, who had a 9-to-5, and you see them on the football field the next day or the basketball court the next day. It's because they were resilient. They never gave up. They never lost the passion of that dream, and they kept working towards it, and it finally pays off. And I think resiliency allows you to overcome a lot of challenges and allows you to achieve the purpose that we all are meant to do on this planet.
I love this, Charles. And also, I look at resiliency as adversity. How do you deal with adversity? Everybody has adversity. Nothing goes perfect. The key is, what do you do about it? I mean, look at all the stories of Michael Jordan get cut his third grade year of basketball. And the rest is history. I think that's probably one of the best situations you can have as an athlete, is to have an adversity and to be able to come through. And then you wonder why guys cry after they win and why there's so much celebration, because you put so much effort into something. I mean, if you think about us as ex-New York Giant running backs, we put everything we had into it. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it works. Sometimes you get hurt. But what do you do about it? You get back up and fight some more. And so I think that's the key to life. And for kids everywhere, or even adults who go through adverse situation, it doesn't always last. But what you do about it has something to do with how you progress in life and how you have an attitude. I really don't like to be around people, and you know I'm telling the truth, TW, with bad attitudes, because I try to have a good attitude all the time, no matter what, because I think the way you think controls the way you act.
Absolutely. It's really a mindset. I think you got to have a steely-eyed, focused mindset where you fix it on a certain goal, and you never waver. You never, give up. Even if you fall, you get back up, because there's a goal in front of you. I think people fail to be resilient because they lack goal setting, right? There isn't any specific destination that they're planning to reach. And that's why people aren't as resilient as you think they should be, because they're not going anywhere. I think you need a place to go to be resilient. As athletes, we have a certain expectation of ourselves. Whether you want to be the best player or the best team, whatever, you want to be the best. So you have a goal. That's why you keep getting up after failure, after failure, after failure, because you know that you still have the potential. As long as you're playing in that or walking in that facility and have a job, you still have a goal. And so that's why you're as resilient as you want. And now there's more added incentive to be resilient, because Danny Dimes can make $40 million after he was shipped out of the Giants. He was gone. That man is resilient. He said, "Hey, look, if I have a great year this year, no matter what I look like the past three, I still have a chance to make $40 million. And guess what? He's backing up the truck to say, "Hey, I just opened the doors. It's up to you. Are you filling it, or am I taking my truck to the next city?"
What's incredible is that Eli Manning made 23 million or 25, somewhere in the 20s, in the millions. And then Danny Jones is going to surpass him in his fifth year playing. But what I look at too is that baseball players who who get to bat and they strike out or do bad 7 out of 10 and they bat 300 and they get in the Hall of Fame. So most of their batting life is failure. So that means they're dealing with adversity and resilience all the time. Because if you're getting up at bat and some pitcher seems like he's got your number, you got to be creative in some way to be able to make it even or to get back up and not quit and say, forget it, I can't hit this guy. So there's so much resiliency in sports. And that's why I always encourage kids to play sports, because a lot of kids are giving it up because they think football is too tough. You know, one of our ex-teammates, Harry Carson, said that he was not going to let his kid play football because he didn't want him to get hurt. And I think a kid can get hurt walking down the street or using your skateboard or something like that. But that's what life is about, taking a chance.
It is. It definitely is. And I think this is a great word, great topic. I think we all need it. I think we all have times in our lives where we don't want to get back up. But I think we learn because of the types of situations we've made it through. If we look back at our lives, we've made it through some tough situations to get to where we are today, and we're better for it. And so when we can continue to focus on the task before us, we will always continue to strive to get there, no matter how bad the situation looks at the time. I think we'll always get to where we need to go, based on the fact that we've done it before. And as long as we can lean on our past experiences, we'll have future success.
And you know, what's incredible is as we get older, as older running backs now, it reflects on our kids, because like I said, I would not allow my daughter or son to ever give up. And if they quit something, they got to tell me why they quit, because quitting becomes a habit if you begin to do that. And that takes away from everything. So it's just like my dad said, if you quit one time, it's easy to go the second time. So the best thing to do is just to fight your way through it, go through it, and then later decide whether it's something that you're positive about or negative about. But I think that resiliency and the ability to overcome adversity is totally what sports is about.
Absolutely. And I can't agree with you more. You're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Showed Me the Way. We are almost over. We're going into our fourth quarter. We're going to hit up on some topics that are near and dear to our hearts in the fourth quarter. Hopefully you will enjoy it, but hang on to your hats. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to The Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way, with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We are here. We are in our fourth quarter, last quarter, and we just got finished talking about resiliency, how impactful and important it is to be in a success in anything you do. And speaking of resiliency, it's all about the Super Bowl hangover. And this next year, how are the Eagles going to perform? You know, we always hear about that Super Bowl hangover. The losing team always tends to start off slow and not have a great year. It almost happened to Cincinnati this year. They started off, 0-4, 0-5 to start the season, or 1-4, 1-5 to start the season. And people were thinking, did they have that Super Bowl hangover, given that they were so young? But there were some extenuating circumstances. You had Joe Burrow. Joe Smooth had an appendix surgery. The man didn't practice at all during the preseason. So for them, they had a great quarterback.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, I can go back to when we played in 2000, and that Super Bowl in 2000, we had Kerry Collins. We were in the Super Bowl. People were thinking we were going to win the Super Bowl. We come back in 2002, pretty much the same team, and got demolished. Didn't make the playoffs. Jim Fossil was on his way out the door. It was a lot of stuff going on that year. And could that have been a lot of expectations, a lot of players taking what they did the previous year for granted, not doing what they had to do? Or was it the personnel a year older and we didn't, in the Giant front office, didn't do enough to improve the roster? So I think it plays in it hand in hand, where it takes management, it takes players, it takes the coaching staff to say, let's, that year was that year, throw it away, and we got to focus on this year. What can we do to become a better team? And as long as they focus from a management standpoint, a player standpoint, and a coaching standpoint to say, let's not rest on our laurels. Let's not do what we did the previous year. We got to get better. There was a reason why we didn't win the Super Bowl. So what do we have to do to get better and focus on areas so that you don't have that Super Bowl hangover?
Well, Charles Wade, do you think that because when you go to the Super Bowl, you're going to the furthest of the season you can go, which is, excuse me, playing in the last game of the season, and then the off season, people are patting you on your head, they're telling you how great you are, you get more speaking engagements, you have more banquets to go to. Do you think that contributes to a team not putting it in gear to make it at least to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, like I said before, I think there's some complacency in that from a player standpoint. You're getting a lot more notoriety because of where you are, especially depending upon the city you're in. You're having a lot more notoriety. People are kind of vying for your time. You may be less focused on the things that got you there. Remember the example I made when I would have a bad game, I'm focused, I'm ready to go, I'm going to do the best I can the yep. following week. And then once everything starts to get back to where I think they are, I'm going to chill out and stop working as hard because, okay, I've arrived, I gotten to where I'm supposed to be. And I think that's what a lot of teams without that fire, they get kind of comfortable. Like, hey, we're a very good team. We're complacent. We're a very good team because we beat everybody in our division. We just didn't beat this other team, and we could have beaten them. And I think that was the issue with us. And that could be the issue with the Eagles if they're not careful, because Baltimore didn't kill us, right, when they beat us in 2000. I mean, their defense was better than our offense.
Yep.
But their offense didn't do anything on our defense. And so when you look at those dynamics, You can see why certain teams can be complacent. But if you continue to reinvent yourselves, you know, and kind of continue to push and press forward to kind of make everything look a little better, kind of get on the cutting edge and making sure everybody is working to get better, I think you eliminate that complacency aspect and that Super Bowl hangover aspect. The way Philly is set up and their team, it's got a mixture of young and old guys there. And Jalen Hurts, who, if you believe what he said in the locker room, if he continues to improve and they still continue to build around him, I think that they have a chance to be just as dominant as they were this year, next year.
I'm anxious to see what the Eagles do in lieu of them being one of the best teams in the NFL on both sides of the ball. I think they really learned a lot from this Super Bowl because Jason Hurts only fumbled one time, and that was the one they took back for a touchdown. That was the difference in the game, but he got them to tie the game up. He brought him back down the field. His contract is up. Let's say they may make him one of the higher paid players in the league after only 1 year of showing what he can do. But by watching him play, you know, they run kind of a veer offense, and then he passes off it. Can he continue to improve on that? Because they had a great running game, great passing game, a great offensive line. And how do you keep all these people together? Because I think they got about 20 free agents on the Eagles. And I don't know, we're going to see this year if complacency is the problem or is the hangover the problem. The Super Bowl hangover has been around forever. I know a long, long time ago, the Buffalo Bills went to the Super Bowl four times and lost four times. I don't know how you do that. That's going to be tough as heck with the great team that they had. So I think Super Bowl hangover is real. I think it's hard for a coach to show the same, eagerness that he had the year before that made him have success. How do you duplicate that? You know, that's a hard situation, Charles Way, from a coaching staff standpoint, from an organization standpoint. Do you not give out more sandwiches? You not take them out to dinner more? What do you do?
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, I, you know, part of it is knowing who you give the money to, right? Because there's a little bit of jealousy going on too. After you go into the Super Bowl, you may have lost. A lot of guys are free agents, and they're like, "You got to pay me. We just went to the Super Bowl, and I was the main reason we went to the Super Bowl. Whether you are or not, that's how you feel, right? So we're a Super Bowl contender. You pay me, and." That's a great question. Is there going to be some jealousy in the locker room? How come you got paid this and I didn't? And that's part of that Super Bowl hangover is people are getting paid a lot of money. And I need to back up because you said something that I have to ask you a question about. So Jalen Hurts is going to get paid.
Yes.
Does he get paid more than Daniel Jones?
He has to. He went to the Super Bowl. I can see, well, you know, he went to the conference championship. He went to the Super Bowl. He had a chance to win it. The game was 35-35 with less than 3 minutes to go. The thing that how I judge the Super Bowls, am I entertained? And, you know, because sometimes I go to sleep if the game is terrible. But this game was interesting. It was exciting. It kept me on my feet. Had big plays, had little plays, had a lot of stuff going on. So, you know, I can't complain. I think he's going to get something that he's worth. I like his attitude. I like the way he deals with his team. And whether you're a Philly fan or not, you got to give credit when it's due.
Okay, so here's my question for you.
Go ahead.
All things being equal.
Yes.
All right. If you're a Giants general manager, Joe Shane, and all things being equal, you got the chance to get Jalen Hurts or Daniel Jones. Who are you picking?
Well, I've told you all year long, Charlie, as long as the deal is, Jalen Hurts impressed me. I mean, just the way he hounds himself. I mean, Danny Jones handles himself well, but Danny Jones cannot throw with the accuracy. That's the difference I saw this year because I watched Hurts the last 2 or 3 years, and he wasn't throwing the ball accurately. He wasn't throwing the ball with any kind of confidence. He did something in the offseason because he's putting the ball on the money with no room to spare. And I don't see Danny Jones doing that very often. And there's a difference when you're in the same conference and they beat you. I beat him 2 or 3 times. Was it 3 times they beat him?
Yeah, 3 times.
3 times, 2 in the conference and 1 in the playoffs. And if that doesn't show you enough gumption on that one, I don't know what to say. So Charles Wade throwing it back at you. Living in Philadelphia, you saw what he did. You saw he was the best in the NFC. He was better than Dak. He was better than all the quarterbacks. And so tell me what you saw it. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, he's definitely worth – now, if anybody's worth the $40 million, he is. I don't think anybody's worth $50 because the jury is still out on him too.
Yep.
Like I told you before, when you give defenses a whole offseason to game plan for you specifically,
yep,
things change.
Yep.
And if you're not an elite quarterback, which he's not an elite quarterback, he's not – I think there were 3 elite quarterbacks in the NFL: Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Everybody else is second tier.
Yep.
Right. So you can game plan, and what I mean by elite is they game plan for you, and you still can't be stopped. Right. I don't think that's the same with a Jalen Hurts yet. I don't think that's the same with Josh Allen yet. And Russell Wilson, I don't know what happened to him, right? I don't know. He's in that 1 and between 1 and 2 category because he used to be that guy where you couldn't game plan against him.
Yep.
But now he looks like Peyton Manning when he barely could throw a 10-yard out. He can't throw a ball now, and that may be him. But when you look at the quarterbacks and the NFL, there aren't they're still the elite and the not so elite. And so there's two classes, and I think Daniel Jones is not even in that second class yet. He had a great year. Let's not take anything away from Daniel Jones. He had a great year, but things have come up where, you know, lightning hit in the bottle for him right on time. What if I was the Giants, I probably would have picked up the fifth year option just because it's cheaper than the alternative, right? Because the alternative is $20 more million more. Probably 25 more million dollars more. And you still won't be guaranteed a good quarterback, right? So it for me, I would have picked up the option. I know why they didn't pick up the option, because they wanted him to prove it, and it kind of opened up cap space for somebody else to come along and do what they needed to do. So that's how I feel. It's a tough situation. Good for both of them. They're both going to get paid. But the jury's still out. But if you had to pick between the two, Jalen Hurts should get paid more than Daniel Jones.
Thought process today, I got something in the mail. They say maybe the one or two draft picks, they're going to talk about the quarterback of Alabama. And then the other people were talking about the quarterback of Ohio State. His name is C.J. Stroud. They were talking about the Cowboys were trading up and getting rid of Dak for C.J. Stroud. What was your thought process, B? Because that would help the Cowboys' cap number, but I just don't think Dak is the reason the Cowboys lose, even though he did throw a couple of interceptions in that playoff game.
You know, I think that's a Jerry Jones thing, because, because they saw the success that they had with their backup quarterback.
Yep.
And so they had a good deal of success with their backup quarterback, and they think that maybe it is Dak. Maybe Dak is the issue and why we can't get to the next level. We had this backup quarterback. Everybody wants to be the Belichick-esque type. Okay, I can win with anybody, you know, and that's what I think they're going to fall into that trap where they can win with anybody. Look at what the Washington Redskins did with their backup quarterback, and they thought that he was the savior, and it turns out that he wasn't the savior, and they had a mediocre year again. And so I just think the quarterback position in the NFL is in flux. Nobody knows who's legit. There aren't any Patrick Mahomes right now. Trey Lance was supposed to be the closest to Patrick Mahomes, right? And San Francisco, he got hurt. Then Jimmy G, he resurrected. How many times can Jimmy G resurrect his career? I think every other year he has a new payday coming, right? This man, let me just have one good year and get paid $40, $30 million and then have an awful year, dump that contract, get a new contract and get another $30, $40 million. Hey, it's crazy.
That's called resiliency. That's what they call it. Anyway, Billy Taylor and Charles Wade talking to you in the world of sports. We take it through four quarters. Our first quarter was the Giants. We talked about Danny Jones and Saquon Barkley. Second quarter, we talked about the prospects the Giants need. We talked about different things. The third quarter, we talked about resiliency for an athlete. If you lose, get up and work harder. If you fall down, get back up. And our fourth quarter has been about the Super Bowl hangover. And I really like this because, you know, it's hard to duplicate the same thing. If you're running back, Charles, and you had a good game last week, it's hard to have a good game the next week. And the thing about it, they call that consistency, but I call it getting your behind beat and having to recover, have resiliency in that game to come back. And maybe two games later, you feel better, and then you may have a better game.
Absolutely. It's really all about being prepared, having that focus week in and week out, and never getting complacent. The thing is, if we can avoid complacency, you avoid failure. And so I think that's the key, is that you will never be considered a failure if you're working hard, you're doing well. You're going to fall, but you will never be considered a failure as long as you continue moving forward.
Yeah, but I think football players work as hard as any group of athletes I've ever seen, because you think about it, to be a football player, you got to be a good athlete. Because what I love to see is I looked at Arthur Thomas, the Giants' left tackle, and used to be those guys are big and fat. Those guys look like basketball players because they're lean, they're thin, they got great footwork. And I think the work that you put in as an athlete to get to your position. I don't think too many things or too many teams can deal with that. I even watched basketball players work out. Look, baseball player has the easiest workout I've ever seen. I went to training camp 1 year with the Mets, and I don't think Daryl Strawberry worked up a sweat at all. He stood out in the outfield, didn't get any balls hit to him. He got to the plate, struck out three times. I don't know if he worked up a sweat. I said, that's the best game in the world, man. You don't get beat up at all. You may not play that much that game and still win. So it's just even though they're great athletes, I don't think baseball players are in the same league as football players.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all biased, playing sport. And we're all jealous too, because baseball players getting guaranteed contracts, and we're still working on getting guaranteed contracts. So there's a little jealousy to that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Charles Way. But I love our word of the week too, and we're going to try to incorporate that in every week, have something different to bring to you from an athlete standpoint. And Charles Way, anything else?
No, I'm good, but I can't wait till we get back next week. Got a lot of stuff to catch up on, talk about, and think about it. Free agency should be starting right around our next show, so it'll be exciting.
So don't touch that dial, because we're ending our show now, but next week we're going to talk about the Giants free agencies, the free agency people that are available, and what the Giants and Jets need to make a better way to make the playoffs next week. We got it next year. We got to thank Ben back at the studio for making us sound good. Thank you, Ben, for that. And for Charles Way, show me the way. I'm Billy Taylor, the BT Express, Expressway. Have a good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And off season for football. Talk to you soon.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.